on this week in Bad Takes in Boston, NFC South, Divisional Preview, and more.
NFC South. I think it's funny that we're deciding to talk about this division first.
Because it's lame and we want to get it out of the way. Like, who cares about these teams?
I do. I think there's a chance that we might have a potential shakeup in this division, dude. I am 100% a believer that, one, the Saints might not win a game all year, and two, Panthers are going to win this division.
Yeah, you're about that.
Yeah, I'm gonna
start with the Panthers then. Let's start with the Panthers then. What about this team excites you? Because I'm going to be honest, I think they're at best a dark horse. I don't see it with them at all. I see how they could be interesting and exciting. Shout out Raheem Blackshear, Rutgers legend. But I'm just I don't see it. Please explain it to me.
So first off, I think that this is a team that now believes in Bryce Young, first of all. And I think the way he played those last four or five games of the season last year was huge for momentum. I don't think there's going to be any more questioning what he can or can't do on the football field. Like, I think he has solidified himself as the quarterback of the future for the Carolina Panthers. He looked real good in the preseason start against the Browns. I know it's preseason, but he did look good. He looked
When we
sharp.
talked about Jackson Dart, preseason is going to matter a ton.
All I'm saying is he didn't look like he regressed in any way. He looked good. Apparently, he's having a great camp. You also drafted Tet McMillan, who I think is going to give him a true bona fide wide receiver one. And you have some fun fringe guys surrounded around him. You know what I mean? Like, they now, we know Chuba Hubbard's kind of a dog. Chuba Hubbard's a pretty good running back. They did sign Rico Dowdle. I'm not going to put anything on that. I'm just saying I think it's really funny that they signed Rico Dowdle. But
Hopefully Trevor Etienne starts over Rico Dowdle.
they also have Trevor Etienne. All right. But, dude, they have Jalen Coker. They got Adam Thielen. They got Xavier Leggett. Who else am I missing? They got
Hunter Renfrow.
They also have Hunter Renfrow. That's who I was thinking
their
about.
Their O-line is really solid. Their O-line is my favorite part of their team by far.
And I think the one thing we can talk about all of these teams, but they were all just horrible defenses. They all had horrible defenses. I mean, they were ranked in the bottom half of the league in points allowed per game. The Buccaneers allowed 22 points a game, Falcons 24 points a game, the Panthers 31 points a game, and the Saints 23 points per game. And mind you, I'm rounding some numbers, but still. That's bottom half. The Buccaneers 16th in the league, Falcons 23rd in the league, Panthers 32nd, dead last, and Saints 19th. So we know these teams, right? They can't play defense. That's the big question mark. But when I look at this Panthers schedule, I look at the teams they're playing. I see a world where they can get out to a hot start. And I think if their offense is able to keep them in the game and Bryce Young is able to play really good football, also second year now in Dave Canales' system, I'm a big believer in what the Panthers are doing. I'm telling you, I think, you know what, I know I'm coming out the gun saying they're going to win this division. I feel really good about that, but at very minimum, this is going to be a playoff team this year.
I'm not going to lie. I couldn't disagree more. This defense is so poo water. It's not even funny. I would like you, Tomas, based on that prediction you just made, to name three starters on this defense.
J.C. Horn.
Correct. He's currently hurt, but yes.
Nick Skrouten.
No, backup.
Really? Also, he just had a collapse.
He also just got hurt.
That? He also did
He's
just
currently
get hurt.
Starting behind DJ Wonnum. You know DJ Wonnum?
I don't, but I do also know that they do have Derek Brown and Bobby Brown. Shout out Texas A&M.
Okay, we
But
got
that's
you.
it.
We got
I'm not. I'm
three.
not. Yep. That's all I got for you. I don't know much on this defense.
Listen, I'll tell you why you don't know much about this defense. It's Derek Brown and a bunch of bums. Like full. I'm staring at this right now. We were talking about A'shaun Robinson. A pretty like underrated bust, I'd say. A J.C. Horn, who's good but is currently hurt, and probably outside of Derek Brown, like arguably one of the worst defensive lines I've ever seen. This front seven is just simply terrible. Trevon Wallace, Christian Roseboom, Mike Jackson, Trevon Moehrig, Chow Smith Wade. Listen, maybe they'll prove me wrong, and we'll all be wearing Chow Smith Wade jerseys by the end of the year. But they didn't do enough to make the worst defense in the NFL better. They didn't go out and get some free agent signing. They drafted Princely Umanamelon and Nick Skarton, and right now they're both second stringers or hurt. I'm going to be honest, they could be fun. I like this O-line. I'm still not sold on Bryce Young, but I think he'll be good, especially against the defenses in this division. But like to say these guys are like definitely going to go to like be anything above like they should be shooting for an average team. If they're an average team, I think every Panthers fan will be like really into that and okay. But I mean like average in a sense that they'll be average for the NFC South. They will not be NFL team average.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. They were a 5-win team last year. I think they can win 5 more games this year. And I think 10 wins gets them in the playoffs. And I'm looking at the schedule, Jack. They can win 10 games. 100%. If you want to go through the schedule, we can go through the schedule.
No, I mean they get two wins against the Saints. I'll give that. Although honestly, they could drop one of those if we're being honest. Like teams win football games, especially towards the end of the year there.
Exactly.
I don't think they're beating the Bucs twice, and they would need to do well against. Granted, their out of conference Ross lineup is
And
pretty weak.
it's nothing, dude. Look, all right, let's go through their I'm gonna say my prediction, all right? And then we can go back and forth. Week one, they have Jacksonville on the road. I think they beat the Jags.
No, I think that's a weird week one game, and the Jags beat them. It's at home. Trevor Lawrence is going to put on a show. I think that's going to be. I think they're going to win. The Jaguars are going to win that game at home.
Okay. Week two, they play the Cardinals. I think they beat the Cardinals 2-0.
Yeah, I think they get a lick off on the Cardinals. I think that's fair.
Then they play Atlanta at home. Home opener. Give me the W right there. I think the Panthers start the year 3-0 for sure.
Definitely not 3-0. I don't know if they necessarily win this game. I'll home opener, I'll give that to you. Then they lose next week. I don't
Okay, so then the following week, you think they lose to New England?
at New England. Yes, I think they're losing to New England. I think they're getting beat.
I agree as well. But then they go play Miami, and I think they beat Miami. They're four. Yeah, they beat Miami.
I don't know. I honestly don't think anyone's a block like as much as we make fun of Tua, and we make fun of how the Dolphins perform in like cold weather playoff games. We can't just automatically say that one of these dudes in the backup, whoever's backing up J.C. Horn right now, is going to cover Tyreek Hill. Like they still got a lot of talent on this Miami offense.
Okay, then they play Dallas.
Yeah, okay, they beat them. Dallas is sorry.
Okay, you think they beat Dallas? I think they lose to Dallas. So, anyway, then they play the Jets. I think they beat the Jets.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to beat the Jets this year.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe too. Justin Fields, we can get into that later, but man, he looks bad. They play Buffalo. I think they lose to Buffalo. Okay. They then play the Packers at Lambeau.
And they lose to the Packers.
I don't think they win that game. That was really fair. Then they play the Saints.
For the first time all year, they beat the Saints.
Then they play Atlanta on the road.
If you're saying they beat them in that first game, then you have to say they're losing this.
Yes, I think they lose this game. Yes. Then they play San Francisco, and
Weird throw up. I think they win.
I think they win that game as well.
Yeah.
Then they play the Rams.
The Rams are eating this team alive.
Okay.
Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams are eating this team alive.
They play the Saints again, and then I think they beat the Saints.
I don't know. That's a 425 one, like late in the year. Like you got to think, like if we're thinking of the Saints as like an impossibly bad team, which like let's not
I
spoil
think
all
let's get
that.
real. By that time, I think they're embracing the let's just keep sucking and get the first overall pick.
True, but players don't do that. Maybe management does. And what I'm thinking of as an example is, you remember the Giants Colts game, like week 14 last year, where Drew Lock had like five passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown at 450 passing yards?
Yes.
What if that's that game for them?
Okay.
That in that part of the schedule, it makes so much sense for me. Like a December 14th, the season's over, it's 425. Weird things are happening. So I'm not saying it's confident, it's like 60-40 Panthers win.
Okay.
but they could drop that one.
Then the last 3 weeks of the season, we got Tampa Bay. I
Loss.
think you got them with the loss there. I
The
think
Tampa
they
Bay's
I
going to be
think
fighting for their playoff spot.
they
They're going
play
to try.
Tampa Bay twice in the last 3 weeks. I think it's a split. I think they
Yeah,
split.
fair. That's fair. Because I think Tampa Bay would rest their starters because they'd be in a better position at this
And
point.
then they play Seattle. Thoughts against Seattle. Do you think they beat Seattle?
Wow. You know what it is? Is Seattle's a team I really have like very little thoughts about. I think they could honestly beat Seattle. I don't know what they're doing right now with Sam Darnold being their quarterback. They seem to be selling as opposed to buying right now, like just kind of ridding themselves of all their assets. They've got good defensive players, and you know, maybe this isn't the game to start Tet McMillan, number one overall on your fantasy team. But I think the Panthers could beat the Seahawks.
So you got them beating Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have them at 10-7. You have them at 9-8.
There was a lot of positive thinking in there.
I
I do
mean,
see what you're saying with the
I just
schedule.
hear me out. I just don't think they can get I don't see a world where they get worse than they were last year. And in my opinion, I'm like, they have weapons now. The biggest thing, I know their defense hasn't been good, but if their offense can keep them in the game and they have to score 20 plus points a game, I think they could win. I think they'll be able to beat some of these, I would say lesser teams that they start their these non-conference games they have or non-divisional games. But at the same time, I mean, we already know that they're playing in the division with arguably the worst set of defenses in the league.
I think you are seriously underrating teams like the Buccaneers and the Falcons, though, in this observation. And that's where, like, a lot of those wins come from. Oh, they beat the Falcons. Oh, they beat the Bucs. I think there's a totally reality where they go 0-4 against those teams.
I don't think
Yeah.
so. I mean, there is a reality. Anything can happen, dude. I mean, let's get real.
Let's talk about 2 weeks ago when you were saying Mika Ebuka is going to be one of the best, like, new players in the NFL. Put him and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Baker Mayfield, who you love. You love him. You love
Yes.
them against this piss poor defense. Like, it's going to be a track meet. It's going to be like a Texas Tech football game,
That's
you
what I'm saying.
know?
But you got to. But they're gonna split. Well, I just don't see a world where they don't split.
Because I'll say this for certain, and that's that Baker Mayfield right now is a much better quarterback than Bryce Young, even hypothetically. Like, the best case scenario, Bryce Young people, do you really think he is at, he can become by next season as good as Baker Mayfield is right now?
Where it's I don't even think you can make that comparison. They're in totally different levels. They're also like 10 years apart, dude.
It
One's
doesn't matter. It's
veteran.
about how you play on the field. It doesn't
I
matter
know, but
if you're in
still,
the year
okay.
five. It just
In my opinion, I think this is the year that Bryce. This is make or break for Bryce Young. He's either going to win them 9 games or 8 games or 10 games, and they might be a playoff team. Or if they get like 5 or 6 wins and he doesn't play good, then it's done. They're not going to. He's a bust.
No,
So I think it's a
I mean, we
maker.
were calling him that last year, but then he really turned it around. Listen, I hope they're okay. I have no,
I would
I
love
got
to see
the
the Panthers be
opposite.
good.
I got the
Panthers be
opposite of a
good.
horse in this race. You know, like, it's the NFC South. You know, where this is the Fun Belt equivalent of the NFL.
But in my the Panthers win total right now is 6.5. 6.5.
Yeah, but look, let's imagine like some key like let's this is a world where football injuries happen, right? If some part guys in this O line go down, they're bad. I don't know, they're screwed. I don't necessarily think their running game is that good. I know you said Chuba Hubbard you think is pretty good. I kind of disagree. I'm not the biggest fan of his game. And they're, I gotta be honest, like their weapons, like you think they're really good. Fair. I could see why you, if you have a positive lens on this team, you would think that the Tet McMillan, Adam Thielen, and Xavier Leggett, like trio of receivers could be positive with like an upgraded Bryce Young. The problem is, I don't know if Tet McMillan is actually going to be that great the moment he starts off in the NFL. I think he's got a little bit of like the jump ball, good ball skills thing that works really well in college when you're bigger and stronger than people. But he's going to be going up against like NFL, like grown man corners who are going to like be like pushing him down and like fighting him about like with stuff like that. Like, it's not going to be as easy as when he was playing in the Pac-12 or whatever Arizona is in now. I don't know if it's still a Pac-12, regardless. Adam Thielen, who's old. He's reliable, but he's limited and he's old and he's running out of time. And I don't know how much more time we have left with Adam Thielen playing in the NFL. And Xavier Leggett, who I like and I think can be good, but has shown that he is like not in any way like he's a limited player who cannot do things in major situations and be counted on to always make the play, always make the catch, because his hands just aren't that great. And he's not an amazing route runner. He's fast, and I like him, and I think he like has a good attitude, and I enjoy like watching him play. But I think it could be lacking. So I see where it all could go wrong, where Bryce Young is now using a backup left guard, and Jalen Coker, and maybe Rico Dowdle's playing, and Hunter Renfro's getting some snaps. This is all a very delicate house of cards that needs everything to go exactly how you need it to in order for it to work out with them being in the playoffs and being the best team in this division.
Well, let's move on to who you want to move to next, because I really don't really
Let's
want
get
to
the
talk
Saints
about.
out of the way.
You want to get the Saints out of the way? Okay,
Let's
dude,
dog on the Saints for a second.
they're gonna win two games maybe. I think they're so bad. They're so bad. Spencer Rattler's not it. Tyler Shuck is not it. And Jake Haener, he was never it. You remember that picture of him when he came into the league where he like had that pose, looked that the pose that he like made.
Yes, no, I yeah,
Yeah,
that's
I
fine.
think everyone knows that. After I saw that picture, I was kind of a Jake Haener. I wouldn't say a fan, but I remember watching him play at
Like
Fresno
let's be
State.
sneaky with Jake Haener. Like imagine like your team having Jake Haener as
Yeah,
your
like
quarterback,
out of
winning a
college,
game,
like
and then you just post that on your Instagram story.
yeah, I don't know why he did. I don't know, 'cause I just remember him being at Fresno State being like kind of a dog. He broke, what was it, Derek Carr's sort of, I think he broke a couple of Derek Carr's passing records too. And I was like, oh,
Yeah.
Jake Haener. He won a he won like one or two big games against like ranked teams. I forget what it was, but or who against who. But Fresno State, all right. And then he did that, and I said, yeah, this guy's never going to be an NFL quarterback.
A fun little fun fact. Do you remember this was like a not talked about story when it was happening, but when it happened to the guy, it was a big talked about story. At their mini camp, I can't remember this guy's name, but he never played a down of like college NCAA football. He only played JUCO football because he like set a JUCO record. I can't remember this guy's name for the life of me. And then he got caught sports gambling. So he went undrafted, even though he was going to be like a top like recruit or something that like be like the starter at Nebraska, but he never played a down. And he was on this team at one point. And I can't for the life of me remember this guy's name. And if there's a listener who like knows what I'm talking about at all,
Look it
get
up.
on that, listen to that. But anyway, let's get into this. I'll give the positives. I'll give some positives that I think could make this work
The
to some
Saints?
degree, whatever working is, okay?
No, there, I don't think you there's not I don't think working is the word you're looking for.
This is a
How
this
did
could
how about
go.
this? There's no way that this is an average football team this year. Like, I don't know why we're not just both like I'm trying to throw off where you're
Because it's well
nothing you can make
it's
positive out of this. These quarterbacks suck. This team sucks. They're bad. They're bad. The top to bottom,
no
they're
no well no
good.
they're not no no
They also are
that's
not.
not accurate.
They're not
That's
young.
not
They're not young.
accurate.
Kamara, Olave. Olave's. I'd say he's young, but Kamara's getting old. Olave can't stay on the field, and those are their two best offensive weapons. Who's someone's got to throw the football?
No,
Like, it's
listen,
not like their
listen.
offensive line is fantastic either.
No, that's where I'm going to jump in. I disagree. I do think their O-line is pretty good. Their O-line is pretty good. Kelvin Banks remains to be an option. Talise Fuaga is good. Cesar Ruiz is good. Erik McCoy is very good. Trevor Penning's dog water. I hate him. He doesn't need to be good. But theoretically, an offensive line can be good with one bad player. And if Kelvin Banks is good, is above average rookie, this will be a good unit. And then we look at the rest of it, and I'm like, okay, I don't really see the plan here. Arguably, one of the most productive offensive players on this team is Juwan Johnson, which is insane because,
Yeah.
like, he's incredibly limited. He's been good for them. He's kind of been like the Saints equivalent of like Darius Slayton, where like he isn't good, but he's always there. And when you watch him, he's always like making like a play, and you're like, oh, this guy could probably work on a different team. Rashid Shaheed is not
Sucked.
wide receiver one, but he could be good. The way they used him last year was just the dumbest system I'd ever seen with a
They
football
basically just
guy.
said, run as fast as you can, and we're gonna throw the ball and go run and catch it.
Like the dumbest kid ever playing with like the Dolphins in 2023 with in Madden. Like just like telling like Tyreek Hill to just do like fly routes the entire time. Brandon Cooks, Chris Olave washed, Alvin Kamara washed. Tyler Shough has had high and low moments in this preseason. I think he will start over Spencer Rattler. I think they're kind of trying to keep their cards close to their chest, give Spencer Rattler like a little bit of like motivation
I think they're
necessarily.
gonna let Rattler start.
Maybe, but
I think they're gonna. I think they'd rather be like, all right, let's start Rattler, and by week three, we'll know because we'll probably be getting blown out, and they'll put in Tyler Shough.
yeah, because I could see that because they're at least committing to Shuck for like at the minimum 2 years.
I
Hopefully,
don't
more.
even think so. I think it's 1 year. I think it's 1 year. I will say this: do you think Jake Haener starts a football game for them this year?
No, not even close. Unless like people get hurt. Like as
I'm
much as
just
people
curious. Do you
want
think they just be like, you know what? Why not just go out there? Who cares?
to. No, because I think they're gonna want to get some games out of this Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shough combination, and mostly Tyler Shough. The fact that he's not starting now is kind of nuts. He's had some good and bad plays this preseason. Some of these interceptions have been dreadful. Or the one, yeah, it was absolutely one of the worst balls I've seen. Very similar to the Dylan Gabriel pick, where it was just a play that he thought he could make because he probably made it 1,000 times in college, not realizing that in the NFL they're bigger and stronger in every way. I'll say this, right? There are pieces that could work. I honestly then go to their defense, and as opposed to the team we just talked about, there are players on this defense that are above average. Pete Werner is a very underrated player, very underrated a linebacker. Chase Young is obviously a crazy bust, but is productive and is like a above average D end. Cameron Jordan's Cameron Jordan. He's getting older, but he's going to be just one of these old defensive linemen that like gets stats and like stays. Not to the same level as they once were, but like can get pretty close to there. Kool-Aid McKinstry's all right. He's all right. I'm not gonna sell the farm to go get some Kool-Aid McKinstry, but like whatever. And you know what? Like DeMario Davis is still here. He's old. He's a very productive player. I think they're gonna have Danny Stutzman then walk in behind him, which I think is a good setup. Brian Breesy has been a bust so far, a major bust, that's for sure. Hopefully he could step up. I think he can. I think if you look at his potential from where he was at Clemson, I think that could be unlocked. But yeah, it's a lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Isaac Yiadom's on this team. That's hilarious. Yeah, I'm going to say let's take out the schedule, do the little schedule thing right now, Tomas. What do you say?
I don't think, I mean, I don't really care. I don't even look at the schedule, dude. They're not gonna win more than three games. All right,
I think
you
they
want to,
could
okay,
be.
I'm gonna look and see where the three games I think they, dude, they're not winning a game this year.
No, dude, they're going to beat the Titans. They're going
No.
to beat the Jets.
Maybe.
They could totally beat the Titans. They could totally beat the Jets. The
All right,
Titans, like.
I'm gonna give them 2 wins. I think they maybe beat one of those two. Maybe they beat one of those two teams, and they get lucky and beat Miami like on November 30th.
No, because I also think they could, like. I think a team could drop one against them. Like, I think the Cardinals could. The Seahawks could. The Giants more than could. The Giants, like that game, just feels really fishy to me. Something is really tickling me about that Giants Saints game where I think they're going to come out and like whoop us, and I just can't explain why. It's like a deep set feeling. And yeah, okay. Listen, best case scenario, we're talking 5 wins.
Okay.
Massive. Worst case scenario, I don't think they lose. I don't think they go over. I think they got enough talent on their defense. Like if you compare them to like the 2017 Browns or the 2008 Lions, they are more talented than those teams. It's just they are sorely lacking in talent in areas that it's very important to be, and that's a problem. I think let's be positive. I'll give them 4 wins.
Okay. So we both have them at the dead last in the NFC South.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Falcons because okay, here, let me, maybe this will be a better way of telling you why this division kind of throwing me off. I think the Falcons are going to be a better team this year because I am a Michael Penix believer. He looked good and in his when he played last year, I mean, they were only a game out from making the playoffs. And you know what? Drake London, Kyle Pitts to the moon. They got Bijan Robinson. They did add a little bit of defensive help. I'm pretty sure they have Jesse Bates now, which I think is, yeah, they got Jesse Bates,
They do have Jesse Bates.
and they did sign Xavier Watts. He was a rookie.
They have a guy
They
named
drafted
Lamar
Xavier
Jackson.
Watts. They drafted Xavier Watts. And I don't know, dude. I really am a believer in this
Are you looking at
Falcon.
their depth chart right now?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I think the Falcons defense is going to be so underratedly, I think, good this year. And I think that Michael Penix is going to absolutely sling it. I mean, think about it. This team was 6-3 was 6-3 last year before like Kirk Cousins like forgot how to play football. Like they were a playoff team halfway through the season, and they also beat the Eagles. They
Yeah,
beat
dude.
the Eagles. This team beat the Eagles with Kirk Cousins, and people forget about that. And I just think adding Penix, you have an offense that is ready to go with playmakers, and this defense is going to be much improved. If there's a team, I think this is going to be they're going to be behind the Panthers, and I got them second in this division. And then the Bucks are going to be three. I think the Bucks do have all the talent in the world, but their defense, I think, is bad. I think their defense is pretty rough, and I think because of it, Baker Mayfield's going to want to play hero ball a little too much. And they have the weapons. Don't get me wrong; they're still going to be a really good football team, but it's going to be just a shootout. And also, too, you lost your offensive coordinator. Liam Cohen is now the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that offense, while it's great and has playmakers everywhere. And you know me, I'm a big Mike Evans guy. I'm a big Baker Mayfield guy, Uboka. And now you have Bucky Irving, who turned out to be an absolute steal for them. I think they got a great offense, but defensively, they scare me. And I think that's where that regression comes for that team. And I think the Falcons are going to absolutely light it up. I think they're going to light it up offensively. Penix, man, I talk about trying to figure out what is his passing touchdown total? You know, what are his passing yards look like? Because I think this is an offense at the very minimum, even if they start losing games or they go behind, they're just slinging it out. They have probably, I think they have the best, probably the best receiving back in all of football in Bijan Robinson. I think the only one that I'd be like, oh, he's probably up there as well as Jahmyr Gibbs, just with how they are able to move with the ball in their hands. But Bijan can do everything. And I think if they have to go, if they're just like, all right, Michael Penix is going to throw for almost 300 yards today. Yeah, Bijan Robinson's going to be catching passes out of the backfield. You have to give him the ball any way you can. Because him and Drake London, you run that offense through them with a quarterback who now can actually throw the deep ball. Let's see it. I think this Falcon team is going to be good, Jack. I'm telling you.
I'll say this. I have the Falcons as my second place team.
Okay.
And I think they're fun. They're a fun team. I mean fun in like a way that's gonna be good to watch because there's gonna be some high scoring games with this team. I'll start off with saying I don't think their defense is gonna be very good at all. I agree. What I was saying before with are you looking at their depth chart is because their third string corner is CJ Henderson. And that's just a real blast from the past name. God, that's a crazy career. He's actually behind a guy named Lamar Jackson, which is also pretty funny. Jalen Walker's out. James Pierce Jr. is currently not is second string behind Leonard Floyd. They got Jesse Bates and Jordan Fuller's a very underrated player, but this defensive line is bad. This defensive line is going to get after nothing. I love my boy Youngway. He's going to be great in the special teams. They'll dominate in that area. I'm not loving this defense. That being said, look at this offense. I am a Michael Penix believer. I'm similar with you on that. And Bijan Robinson, you absolutely hit it on the head. He is one of the best receiving backs in the league. I probably would say he's number two to Saquon, but not all of us could be right about everything. Drake London's also really good. We forget that. Darnell Mooney's a new addition. He could be interesting. He's currently hurt. And let's call it. Let's maybe people will like feel a certain way about this because they're all online and never watch the games. Kyle Pitts is not a bad tight end. He's not a bad tight end. He is a productive tight end. Everyone thinks he's awful because they draft him in the first round with a top 10 pick in fantasy, and they keep thinking they're going to do it. And the hype for him was way too big, and he hasn't lived up to the hype. I agree. But similar to how Chase Young is not a bad defensive end, and he is not a net negative on the field. Even though he had insane hype and he was supposed to be like the most amazing player ever, I think Kyle Pitts is a above average player. And this O-line is great. Full stop, this O-line is fantastic. Jake Matthews, Chris Lindstrom, and Caleb McGarry. It is hard to find a better tackle combination along with one of the best guards in the NFL. I think they're good. I think they're track racing most teams. I think they're track racing the Panthers and beating them. I think they are the upgraded Panthers. because they're bad on defense. They got a solid offensive line. They got fun weapons and a young quarterback, except these guys have it a little more together. Not to even mention, Bijan Robinson is obviously the lead back on this team. They still got Tyler Allgeier. Like, the depth there is good. Tyler Allgeier could be a starter on many teams in this league. And you know what? It's a shame he doesn't, because I'm a big fan of him. I like this Falcons team. I like this Falcons team. I think they're going to have a season similar to what I predicted for the Panthers when I was not realizing how many games I was agreeing to them winning. I think they're a solid team. I think they're going to be really good.
I think they're in the same conversation of they can be a 10-win team, 9-win team. I think they do have a tougher schedule just because they do play the Vikings. They do play the Vikings. They have to still play a combination of the Bucks and the Panthers, and I think they already split, right? Like we talked about earlier. But they also got to play the Commanders, they got to play the Bills, they got to play the 49ers. They do have to play Seattle and they do play the Rams. So, I mean, there are some talented teams or teams that I hold in a high regard, but it's football. So, I mean, there's a chance they could lose to the Jets. You never know what could happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's football. But I think this Falcons team division, sorry, their schedule really gives them an opportunity for be a 10-win team. So I think we're on the same page here. The Falcons are definitely going to be a team that moves up in this division, and they might be sneaky. All right, Jack, it's time to talk about the Bucks. I
Siege
think they're
the day. It's time to siege the day.
I know you probably have them finishing first in the division, but dude, they're number three in my book.
You have like seven Baker Mayfield jerseys, and you're supposed to, and you're telling our audience, who we, care about and try not to lie about, you're going to just tell them right now that this isn't the best team in the division by far. That's absurd to me. That's a ridiculous proposition.
First off, I want to make it known that I have a Browns Baker Mayfield jersey, so it's a little bit different. I don't have a Bucks one, but regardless, I think
Tomas has a Jason Witten flathead in his room, everyone.
I
If you
don't have
come
a
to our
Jason Witten
place, you can
flathead in my
see.
room. Jack, you've been saying that for like 12 episodes. You said that like 12 episodes ago, and I know there's a poll out there. We gotta check the poll from that episode. But
From
no.
what I remember, it's 100%, because it's true. The Jason Witten, I wouldn't violate your privacy by taking a picture of your Jason Witten flathead that you have right above your bed. But like, it's there, and it's pretty funny. It's like, you guys make eye contact every night. Anyway.
Back to the Bucks. I think they take a couple steps back. I really do. I think they take a couple steps back. And I think the Falcons are an emerging team. I like their offense. We already got into that. And you know how I feel about Bryce Young and the Panthers. I just don't believe in this Buccaneers defense. Like, let's look at their defense for a second. Please tell me what makes you feel confident about their secondary at all. I know they have offensive weapons. I think Baker Mayfield is gonna just, I mean, he might throw for like 5,000 yards. Like, actually, I mean, this guy can just light it up and down because he's got weapons everywhere. And I think in there, we already know that they're one of the in the bottom of the NFL when it came to points per game or points allowed per game. So in my eyes, yeah, this defense is not didn't get any better, right? And I don't know. I just believe in within this division, I believe that there's better defenses than the Bucks, and I also know that they're playing a first place schedule, so they're going to play some tougher teams. I'm going to pull up the schedule, but I'm telling you, I think the Bucks probably take a step back.
I really, I mean, I see what you're saying with regards to their very lacking secondary. Jamel Dean, Tyke Smith, Zion McCollum. Yeah, these aren't amazing names. Antoine Winfield Jr. is still a very good player. He's one of the best safeties in the league. This defensive line could be very good. Vita Vea is elite. Well-known, casual ball knowers even know about it. Vita Vea is the guy. Yaya Diaby could be really good. Kalijah Kancey could be really good. And they still have Lavonte David. Hassan Reddick now joins this team. He could be a game changer. Obviously, there was all that weirdness last year with the Jets and whatnot. But and that's their defense, which is obviously the most lacking part of their team. But I look at this as the ultimate NFC South team. This is a good offense. This is a straight up good offense. I love Tristan Wirfs. Cody Mauch is a really underrated guard. Well, I think like. If I think he's like one of the better pass blocking guards. I think he's led like one sack in like 2 years or something like that. He's good. Ben Bredesen, I remember him on the Giants. He's kind of mid. Graham Barton's new. Luke Getteke, he's pretty solid. That's a good O-line. I'd say a good, significantly above average, potentially top 10 if everything works out O-line. And these weapons, Bucky Irving, we all know he's a dog. We all know he's a dog. Mike Evans is still doing it and isn't going to stop doing it. Everyone knows. You tried to get him from my fantasy team. Or not, no. I'm confusing you with someone else. But I had him in the fantasy league and everyone was trying to get him, even though he's old as, time itself. But he still puts up numbers because Baker Mayfield's that guy now. I used to be a Baker Mayfield hater. You were there. You remember those days. It was peaking, during the Panthers time when he was talking all this crap about the Giants and he was talking all this crap about Daniel Jones. We beat them, and I'm like, this guy's a bum. He's a loser. Like, he just talks all this stuff and then he can't back it up. And now he's humble. He trusts the process, and he is going to lead Tampa to the playoffs. He will lead them to a 10-win, potentially 11-win season. Because I think they're going to just clean up in this division. Like they could easily get 6 wins in this division, no doubt. Like everything you think the Panthers could be, this is a proven version of that. We got some fun names here. Tez Johnson is their backup to Emeka Ebuka right now. Sterling Shepard's a third string receiver. That's awesome. Teddy Bridgewater here. Tulane legend Michael Pratt fighting Teddy Bridgewater for that third string spot. Rashad White. Great football player. I'm kidding. No, he's been a bust. But, he's still around. Better than average backup, I guess. I like him. I like the Bucs. Siege the day. Stock up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, so let's recap our both of our final standings. I got the Panthers at one, Falcons at two, Buccaneers at three, and the Saints coming in last.
Yeah, mine's not crazy different. It's Saints last. Panthers third, Falcons second, and then hashtag seize the day. Seize the day.
Yeah, we're just pretty much switched between the Bucks and Panthers, but I mean, yeah, I think we covered the NFC South right there. I know Jack wants to talk about the Giants. So, you know what, Jack? Take it
Do you
away.
not want to talk about the Giants? Are they not the most interesting team in the preseason right now?
You think so?
Let me ask you a question, Thomas. Do you know what the Twitterverse has been all a buzz about right now with the Giants? You know what specifically the
The
media is?
Abdul Carter jet block thing?
No, but that is a thing that's going on. Jets fans
Yes.
are seething right now. There is this account called Jets Propaganda that is mostly shit posting, similar to like Woke Thibodeau, Gabe Patz, Jalen Polkader. The listeners will know. But recently he's just been posting nonstop about how like the Giants have like a losing record in the past 10 years to the Jets. It's all because of this preseason game. I like the Abdul Carter thing. I'm gonna be honest, I don't care that he got knocked over. It was like a rookie mistake. He thought the tight end was going out for a route and instead he chipped him.
Yeah.
One of the things about Abdul Carter is that he's a little light, And if you look at him, even next to like Kayvon Thibodeau, he looks smaller. The
Right.
problem is that it's not his size. He's not Vita Vea, using the fact that he's 370 pounds to like go smashing through people. It's the fact that he's an elite mover, and the fact that he tweeted at it, I want my defensive end like that. I want my defensive end to be crazy, all about the team, all about just beating up on the other team. But the debate, and I'll tell you what instituted me saying this. It was because it was mentioned on both the Giants podcasts I listened to, and Jason Brown from Last Chance U. I was scrolling Instagram Reels and I saw him talking about this. Do you make Dart the starter right now for week one?
I think if they did it and he becomes a starter and he's a starter week one, it would kind of blow my mind because I know they already said that Russell Wilson is the definitive number one guy, but I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. I mean, I think Jackson Dart has played better than Russell Wilson in the preseason. And he also just, he's a young guy. He can use his feet, he can escape. He's got a good arm, he's made some good throws. I mean, he looked really sharp against the Jets, and he backed that up having a pretty good debut. I mean, that one touchdown that he threw in Buffalo, I forgot who it was, but down the sideline to the left side, like right before halftime. I mean, he made a really good throw. That was the first time I was like, damn. I was like, Jackson Dart, he might be him. He might be able to sling it a little bit. I like the way he's used his
Little
legs
Jordan
too.
Humphrey too.
Yeah,
Gross.
he doesn't look I wouldn't say phased, but it doesn't seem like it's too much for him right now. You know, he's playing good football. But I do think he will be starting by the end of the year. I just don't think there's a world where Russell Wilson is actually the starting quarterback for this entire season, unless he turns back the clock and this is like a playoff team. If not, I'm like, if the Giants are around 500, I think they might pull the trigger on Dart halfway through the year.
No, you're absolutely right about that. The plan has always been Russell Wilson starts, Jackson Dart gets in later in the year. We develop him. We don't put him in immediately and have his confidence blow up. I think we got to stick with the plan because I'll be real here. Like, I think this is an exciting team. I think it's an interesting team. I think they're playing better and look better in certain ways that no one expected them to. Like 291 yards with 117 QBR, 75% completion percentage. That's awesome. It's unexpected. That's awesome. We'll say this. I have to now tell myself why I shouldn't be excited because this team is getting to the point where every time I think about it, I get really interested and I think like, okay, this is going to be our year. I can't think like that anymore. I think Russell Wilson's an incredibly limited quarterback. I still think he should start the year and I still think he has advantages. That Bo Collins throw was fantastic. But Russell Wilson is going to limit this offense. I think if our offensive line gets banged up and Russell Wilson is back there and he's getting holding the ball for like 4 seconds, 5 seconds, like he did in every other team before us. Cause like, let's be real. I don't know if he's just going to amazingly get better after what we have seen on the Broncos and then on the Steelers. It seems unlikely to me. So even though I'm super high on Jackson Dart right now, and I'm honestly low on Russell Wilson, to me, the plan has to be stayed. Let's just play good defense. Let's be conservative with passing the ball and not do anything too crazy and play up to Russ's strengths. I think what's interesting is that a take that seems to be kind of getting reversed by people now is how important the type of offense you play and how important that is for the NFL. Because Jackson Dart's been doing tons of one read stuff in these preseason games. It's been working. It's working on teams, you know, and who's to say it works against a starting NFL defense? Probably not. But, you know, I think it's showing that he might have been one of the best picks in this draft. And I'm very excited about it. I'm not going to confirm that for sure he's going to be a superstar or anything. Jury's still out on that. I still kind of lean towards I didn't love him as a prospect, but he's been playing amazing. I love the team right now.
We'll see what happens. I think without a doubt Russell Wilson is going to be, the starting quarterback week one. But like I said, I think Dart eventually plays. He's looked good. So I'll tip the caps. I bet for you right now it must be feeling pretty good. I mean, you got Daniel Jones off your team. My favorite thing I've seen on Twitter is the guy where it's like when Daniel Jones made his first start with the Colts, it was like the Nets, like the 3-point celebration meme. He's like, we finally don't have to watch Daniel Jones play football today for my team. And I just thought it was so funny. But besides that, I mean, things are looking up. Things are looking up, I think, for the
I don't know if you saw, but Malik Nabers is currently hurt. He's on like a 10-day IL, but he also just did a fashion show in New York. So like on the street for Kith. And I don't know how to feel about that. I'm not in love with that.
I didn't know that. I did not know
I
that. I
just
knew
saw
he
the
was a little
video
banged
today.
up.
He was walking the runway and I'm like, dude, get to East Rutherford. This was in like Manhattan. It's like, what, you get like time off and this is what you're doing? No, you should be in the playbook, dude. You should be in the play. Like, I give people a lot of excuses. And sometimes it's like, you know, is every number one receiver going to be a little bit of a diva? Maybe. But at the same time, it's year two. I'm worried you're hurt a lot. That's the thing I'm a little bit worried with Malik Nabers. The talent's obviously there. The ability to produce on the field's obviously there, but he's getting hurt a lot. And he's hurt right now, and he's doing this stuff. And ever since the boat picture, I'm just, you know, I'm 12 out of 10 at alertness for this type of thing. I'm not, I gotta be wary of that of all times. But we could be good. Very interested to see how they do against the Patriots. But there's some other news we need to talk about, isn't there?
Yes,
Speaking of East Rutherford, the greatest New Jersey quarterback of all time. Just got some pretty good news told to him. Tomas.
Joe Flacco is going to be the official starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And I love it. I love it.
Has
I
to happen.
think he's their best option right now. Kenny Pickett, I think everyone is aware that he's just not good at football. He doesn't look like an NFL starting quarterback anytime he's out there. Two, Deshaun Watson's never going to play football again for this team. And apparently Adam Schefter was saying that the Browns are going to carry four quarterbacks. They're going to carry Pickett, Shadur, and Dylan Gabriel. But Joe Flacco is going to start. And I just think they're going to see what happens. But a part of me thinks that Joe Flacco could win this team, like, I don't know, what, eight games? I think so. I mean, we know their defense is pretty good. I mean, they'll probably be able to run the ball. He knows how to run this offense. He was successful in it last time. I mean, last time he was the quarterback for the Browns, they were in the playoffs. Mind you, they did get smoked by the Texans, but I mean, yeah, he's done it before. And you know what? He still looks like he can sling it. He's probably going to throw some interceptions, but he might throw for 300 yards, four touchdowns, and two picks. But if he gets the job done, he gets the job done.
I'm a Joe Flacco fan. I honestly think that he is a iconic quarterback. You gotta the only way to properly understand Joe Flacco is to see what he's done for garbage teams. Garbage teams. The what he did for the Browns a couple years back, turning their season around after a season of Deshaun Watson a couple years back, 2 years ago. John Watson and Dorian Thompson Robinson with a lacking roster of dudes who do not want to be there, an awful offensive line, and like theoretically good weapons that all ended up being various degrees of busts.
David Njoku just started playing great football and was catching like a
Yes.
touchdown every week.
He made David Njoku look like Tony Gonzalez. Like it was insane. It's a match made in heaven. For the dysfunction of this team and the weirdness with its depth chart at quarterback, steady-handed Joe Flacco. Be the steady hand on this team. You know, of all the crazy stuff going on, let Joe be the guy. Let him be the old dude who's in there and he's still doing it. It's really weird also. Like him and Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers are really the last ones of this generation of our youth playing in this game. And because of that, I'm like, hell yeah. You know, he's not like weird like Aaron Rodgers. And I guess there's something weird about Matt Stafford, but he's just kind of boring. He's like a cool combination of the two of them, where he's like, you could tell he'd be cool to like have a beer with and like just goes out there and slings it and probably doesn't take himself too seriously. You know, that's Joe. That's Jersey Joe, baby. We love him.
So I want to add one more thing because I don't want to get into the Browns too much because next week we're going to do our AFC North preview. But I got one more thing for you, Jackson, because I'm going to get into this talk more next week. But I don't know if you heard, but Dylan Gabriel, after his start against the Eagles, he played all right. I think Shadur played better than him, but he did lead a touchdown drive. Anyway, after the game, they were like, "How do you know combat the noise of everything?" And he was like, "Some people are entertainers, but I'm a competitor." He's like, "I just want to compete." And then he had to come out the other day after that, I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago, and say, "Oh, I didn't mean to make that Shadur. I'm not calling Shadur an entertainer." And the fact that that's going on between the two rookie quarterbacks, I think is kind of nuts. So I want to hear your thoughts on that.
I mean, like,
He's definitely talking about Shadur, right?
I mean, look, you got the picture of the two of them from the beginning of training camp where like Kenny Pickett and Joe and all of them are throwing up the like watch thing, and Dylan Gabriel's just standing there looking at the dude who was drafted after him, who's outpacing his jersey sales probably like 1,000 to 1. I could understand why maybe there's some resentment. Especially when, like, if there wasn't a Shedeur Sanders, which he for a period of time thought there wasn't going to be, we'd be talking about how he looked pretty okay, pretty solid for what people thought he could have been in his preseason debut. They thought he'd have, I think a lot of people thought, including us, that when you put Dylan Gabriel in a preseason NFL action, he'd look more like Kyle McCord did than he actually did. But the hype around this, if it's getting to him, it's getting to him. I mean, like the comparisons have been made. The Dan Lanning quotes have all gone viral, where they're saying they're fighting for clicks, we're fighting for wins, and going after how corny they can be advertising themselves. I want to believe there's a part of it where he's not lying, and maybe he was just talking in a general sense and didn't know how and didn't know how his words would come across. But yeah, tensions get high after like football practices. Like it's hot, you're miserable, you're a little emotional. Like, and I think all that brings out like emotion in you, which is why like some of these guys get media trained, so they know to just give like very boring answers. But people also, after like a heated practice where they're like getting third, second string reps and are given an opportunity to kind of like dog on somebody in like the NFL, like it's happened before, you know? So yeah, it's weird. This is all from the dysfunction of Aaron Berry, Andrew Berry. This is all from the dysfunction of how he put together this team, how he uses their draft picks. And none of this needs to be happening because you did not need to draft both of these guys. There's no reason to draft two quarterbacks in this class when you have Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and freaking Deshaun Watson on the roster already, which already you sh if that's in your situation, that is your problem, because you were like, oh, this guy who has a series of highly likely criminal allegations against him, we don't care, he'll be amazing, only for him to be the most dog shit quarterback ever. Like that's a BTB stamp of a take right there. Like to then go out and get a guy who should have been a seventh rounder and who I thought was a second round talent somehow in the fifth after passing on him four times and getting a dude before him, I can't deal with it. It makes no sense to me.
It does make no sense. But listen, we're not going to get into the Browns too much. AFC North preview next week, or actually, it's going to be in a couple of days. It's going to drop at the end of the week. So in a couple more days, we're going to get our AFC North preview. Jack, let's leave the people with that one. Leave them with a little cliffhanger.
You know what? It's going to be a good one. The AFC North is a lot more interesting to talk about than the NFC South, let me tell you, because we had to get the boring one out of the way. And you know what we got, the last one. Just wanted to say, if you're a listener, we love you. We love you even more if you tell someone to listen and just be like, hey, support the independent media of Bad Takes in Boston, because we're not owned by BlackRock. We're not owned by Disney. We're not owned by ESPN. We're not owned by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We can say what we want because we're just two people in an apartment in Dorchester, Massachusetts. And we're fighting. We're fighting against the big dogs. And we're doing it because of you guys. If me or Tomas ever see any listener, you're going to get a big hug from behind. We're going to come up behind you and just hug you. And you're going to know it's the Bad Takes in Boston love. Because that's the difference we have. Has anyone from ESPN hugged any of you ever? No, but you watch all the time, I bet. Huh? That's the difference. That's the difference. We love all of you. You're great people. Take it away, man.